I'm not speaking as an expert. I've had children, all of them now married, six of them. And all of them, by the grace of God, found partners. We are a multilingual, multicultural family. So I have a Goan as my son-in-law. I have the next one, South African, as my daughter-in-law, married my son. And then I have a Kannadiga, married my daughter. Then I have a Tamilian from North India. I have a North Indian also in my family. And I have a Malayali as my son-in-law. Malayali got into my family. Praise God for them. I'm glad my daughter found all of them. All of them, really, I thank God for all my sons-in-law. They are wonderful men who love the Lord and been a great support. Oh, I forgot one more. One is from Cochin, a Portuguese Goan, married one of my daughters. So five daughters, one son. And all of them happily married. And I never chose their partners. I gave them the freedom to choose. Only one condition I made. I didn't say you got to look for an Anglo-Indian. I didn't want them unless it was rare to find a godly Anglo-Indian boy, at least at that time. So I never insisted that they marry from within the community. I said, you're free to marry whom you like. One condition, he must be or she must be born again. That's all. It's the only condition I made. And I praise God that all of them know the Lord, love the Lord, and they follow the Lord. And that's given us such a feeling of family of God. Because like we shared this morning, there's no barriers, there are no walls, everything. The walls are broken down. So whatever community, whatever background, language, country, it's broken down, we are one family in Christ. So that's how it's been. And I always encourage them to pray. And I would encourage every young person, like I've done back in Bangalore, if you should start praying for your life partner when you're close 18. You know, don't think of marriage till you're 18, you're getting into your 20s. You should be praying for your life partner. I hope all of you want to get married, I'm sure. Raise your hands, those who want to get married. Don't be shy. Don't feel shy. Now, don't be super spiritual. I know all you guys want to get married. Don't be super spiritual. What about you girls? Definitely. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, I want to give you one word. Like I said just now, you begin praying once you close 18. And don't get into unrest if you're closing, if you're past 25, going into your 30s. My children, they found partners at various stages in their life. I mean, different ages. But one thing I've encouraged all young people, never get into unrest. God has reserved somebody for you somewhere. If He has to bring him or her across half the world, He will do that. But He has planned somebody. And this is a word that has been a tremendous encouragement to me in Zephaniah. You know it. You've heard it. If you're coming, being part of this church, even here also, Zephaniah chapter 3. Turn back from Malachi, Zechariah. And then you come to Haggai, then Zephaniah. Chapter 3. It says there, the last chapter. Chapter 3 is the last chapter. And it says, the Lord your God, verse 17, is in your midst, a victorious warrior. I like that. He'll fight for you. a victorious warrior and he never loses a battle. He will exult over you with joy. So the Lord your God is in your midst. You know, think of that. He's there to protect you. As long as you seek after him, as long as you love him with all of your heart, he will fight for you. He's a jealous lover in every battle. So he will fight for you that you don't make the wrong choices. He'll fight for you that you don't compromise, you don't get careless with sin. As long as you yield to him, if you're walking with him, he will fight for you. A victorious warrior, says, and he will exult over you with joy. This is the word he silently plans for you in love. That has given me great rest, not just in choosing a life partner. The other day, some of the young people are asking how we met. Well, it was not accidental. God planned it, how we met. But just shortly after my conversion, one of the prayers I prayed, because when I came to know the Lord, there were two things I did. The night I repented of my sins and gave my life to Jesus and surrendered to him, two things God convicted me that I should do. One was to apologize to my mother. The way I treated her, the way I treated them, I was a stepfather, but he treated us, brought us up very well. I thank God for him. But I didn't like them interfering with my life. I was upset. I broke connection with them. So when I was in the railways, and many years, I even stopped, they refused to take support from me. So I lived like that. I was doing my own thing. I wanted to do it my way. And thank God he didn't let me do it my way. What a mess I would have made. I could have got married in 1965. And many things happened. God kept me from making the wrong choice. And then the night I was converted, that was one thing I had to do. I had to repent. I had to write a letter of apology to my mother and asking their forgiveness, and even my dad also. And I remember the reply I got back from my dad. And my home broke when I was 10 years. I come from a broken home. So I was in boarding school all those 10 years. It was convenient for them to put us in boarding school. And it was not the boarding schools like today. It was an Oliver Twist type of boarding school. You know how that is. We couldn't ask for more food. We had to work. We had no servants. We had to do everything ourselves. So it was a good training for me. So 10 years of my childhood were in boarding, and after that I came home once a year, and after that joined the railways. I got converted, like I was saying, when I was wanting to climb the ladder. God really took hold of my life and made something of it. So I repented, I reconciled with my mother. The other letter I wrote was to the relationship I was in, to the girl I wanted to marry. My wife is here, she knows all about it. So it's no secret for her. We both have had a past, and God has forgiven us. And I tell young people, when they get married, decide from the time you're engaged, from the time you decide for one another, never, never to speak about each other's past. I tell you, we did that. We will be completing 50 years of marriage in 2-3 years' time. Not once did she remind me of my past, or did I remind her of her past. We made mistakes. Young people, we were foolish. We did foolish things. So I wrote a letter saying, that was one thing, God, I decided I wanted to follow Jesus. I don't know how it was going to affect this relationship. And so I wrote and said, this is what has happened to me. I don't know how this is going to affect our relationship, but I've decided to follow Jesus. I've given my life to Him. I've not yet been called to serve Him full time. That was later. And I got a letter back from her mother saying, forget it. And they had made plans to take me to Australia and all that. God saved me from doing it my way. I think you've heard of that song sung by a singer, pop singer, I did it my way. And what was his end? Sad. I did it my way. Even though he sang a few gospel songs, and even though they say that he was converted and born again, but he died with an overdose of drugs because he was very famous. You know who I'm talking about? Elvis Presley. It's sad when God could have made something of his life. So I don't know whether his conversion was genuine, but I was thinking that's what happened. He prophesied, I did it my way. And where did he end? So I thank God that he didn't let me do it my way. And my wife can thank God that God didn't let her do it her way. So, one of the prayers I prayed, I said, Lord, don't let me ever make a mistake again. I want you to choose my life partner. I don't know who she is, and I never ever dreamt that I would get a partner from my community. Not that I wanted one. I was willing to marry any from any community. But the Lord led our paths together. I prayed, she prayed, and we met on an occasion in Chennai. And when I saw her, like Adam, I said, this is it. I fell in love with her. And I think she could say the same also. And our relationship began when we were passing a church. We went inside and we prayed, committed ourselves to the Lord. We said, Lord, I proposed to marry her. I didn't know what was going to happen. And she didn't know, by saying yes, what she would have to face. Because later, in our relationship, in 1.5 years, you know, I was called of God. I knew God called me to give up my job and serve Him full time. And I said to her, I don't know how this is going to affect our relationship. But I said, I'm leaving my job and because God has called me. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know He's called me. Her mother was concerned. She didn't have a dad. Her dad passed away, left them when they were small. And so her mother was concerned. I mean, what's going to happen? He doesn't have a job. How will he support you? So I wrote a letter to her. I'll never forget it, in the YMCA, back in Secunderabad, where they had turned a kitchen, into a room, because they don't give rooms for single people, you have to share it with somebody. I didn't want to share a room with anybody. So that was my first home. I lived first in the church, in the Brethren Assembly for a long time, and then I shifted here. And then I remember that on the stone floor, on the granite floor, there was a cot and a table. It used to get very cold in the winter because there was a chimney there, which I had to ask them to block. But there I knelt down. I can still picture it. I knelt down, I wrote the letter, and I said, Lord, I am willing to give up marriage. If you want me to be single, then you've got to give me the grace. I didn't decide to be single. And I wrote the letter. There was no email and all that at that time. I put it in an envelope, held it and prayed over it, and sent it, posted it. I said to her, I don't suggest that you've got to wait for me. I don't know what this will mean, but you're free to carry on with your life. I can't promise you marriage. I don't know when I can marry you. I was getting 200 rupees. How can I can't even support a wife with 200 rupees. I left the railways with a suitcase, couple of clothes and sold, gave the key of my house which was furnished ready for marriage, gave it to my friend, best friend. I said, sell everything and whatever money you get, you give me. So I didn't know what they did with the stuff. He gave me some money. And I was not bothered. And I wrote this. I said, Lord, I'm willing to give up everything. I gave up everything to serve you. And I'm willing to give up marriage. And if you call me to live a single life, you've got to give me grace. I waited. In those days, it was snail mail. I waited for 2 weeks. She still has my letter, I think. Got all my letters. And what I did with hers. But she's kept all my letters. We said one day we'll sit together and read them. 3 years she waited. She wrote back after 2 weeks. I thought she had changed her mind. She wrote back after 2 weeks. And when I opened the letter, my heart was beating fast. I thought this was going to say, no, you do what you think you're called to do. But she said to me, however long it takes, I'm willing to wait for you. I couldn't promise anything. And I was in an organization that just paid me 200 rupees, but I was happy. I was working with young people in the church. After that, I joined Youth for Christ, because I enjoyed working with young people. And then, it was then that I was getting, she'll remember it also, I think it was 430 rupees, 80 rupees went for rent. The two rooms were the office, one room and one nice big bathroom and a little veranda. So then I wrote and said, yeah, I think now we can think of getting married. I'm not getting much, but we can get married. So we got married. We had a very simple wedding. It was over by 7:30 in Chennai, in the Brethren Assembly, because I was going to the Brethren Assembly. And we've been married now. It's going to be nearly 50 years, in 3 years' time. And we had no regrets and no time. Either of us thought we made a mistake. There was no time she thought she made a mistake. It was not a bed of roses. Marriage is not a bed of roses. I want to tell you guys. Even if you find the right girl and the best girl, and also for you sisters, it's not a bed of roses. We went through a lot of difficulties, but brought a lot of spiritual muscle into us. And the lessons God taught us, to trust Him, to depend on Him. And I'm glad that even at the beginning, we didn't have the understanding that we have today in CFC. But the light I had, we walked according to that light. God blessed our married life, blessed us with 6 lovely children, and took care of all our needs. So, this word that He silently plans for you in love. And not just that, just a few weeks ago, Brother Zach was sharing on this. He says, you know, He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feasts. They came from you, O Zion. And the reproach of exile is a burden on them. And it says that in the Living Bible, it says, is that a choir that I hear? You know, that word says, He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. It's the only place we read that, where God sings over us. Not only plans for us in love, but as He looks at you, have this picture in your mind, your father sings over you. It's my daughter, it's my son. We are not slaves, we are sons and daughters. Always remember that. I remind myself, I'm not a slave. God has not given us a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. A spirit of adoption, where I can say dad. I can call Him my dad. He's my dad. And not only He plans for me in love, He rejoices over me. And so I can thank the Lord for that. And I want to leave that word with you as you pray and think about a life partner. I don't believe that God has call somebody to live a single life, but I believe in the times that we live in, it's good to be married, good to have a partner, and raise a family, a godly family. And the other word God gave us, when we consider, both of us from broken homes, both of us from bad childhood, and Vicky one with one story, I with another, and we were scared because, you know, people with all that, you know, they weigh a lot of things, many things also, and we are related, and so many questions came there, even among our family members, and we wondered how it's going to be, because both of us have had a bad childhood, we had come from broken homes. And this is the word the Lord gave us at that time. It's Malachi. Malachi and chapter 2. You know, verse 16, God says, I hate divorce. Both our parents were divorced. Mine, I said, when I was 10 years old. Hers also about the same time. And He says, God says, yeah, I hate divorce, says the Lord. So we were scared. We were doing the right thing or not. But then we got this word, where the Lord says, you know, here He's taking up with husbands. So it says, another thing that you do, you cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with groaning. Brothers, take heed to this. You're not married yet. But take heed, because He no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. You say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. I tell you, the number of emails, you know, I answer, that come to Brother Zach, that I answer on his behalf. The number of emails I get from, a lot of them from sisters who are having problems with husbands who are not faithful, living in adultery, and it's heartbreaking sometimes. They have children, sometimes two children, three children, five children. And brothers, take heed to this. When you do get married, but you never, never deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. God has planned for you in love. It's sad that I get emails from couples who said that they fell in love, they loved one another. But this has happened. My husband is having an affair with another woman. Oh, it's heartbreaking. I wouldn't like any of my daughters to go through that. You know, where you have to deal with this, where you end up in the divorce court. And God says, for what reason? You've dealt treacherously, though she is your companion, your wife by covenant. But not one, listen to this, not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. That means it's something's wrong with that relationship. Not one who has a remnant of my Spirit, who has the Holy Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? That's the word God gave us. That we would raise a godly offspring. So put to rest all the fears we had, even in spite of our backgrounds. And it says, take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth, for I hate divorce. I've said this word to countless people who were contemplating, considering divorce. I said, and they point out to Matthew chapter 19. It's not a married couples meeting, but I'm just referring to that. That Jesus gave an exception. There's another explanation for this. He said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But in the beginning, it was not so. So God hates divorce. Get that straight, brothers. One day you'll be married. Sisters, one day you'll be married. And why does God bring us together? To raise a godly offspring. That is the whole purpose. There may be other reasons that you want to get married. For men especially, that it's good for a man to marry than to burn, it says. Better to marry than to burn. Let your lust burn you up. You're unfaithful. You are having problem in your thought life. But I want to say to you, brothers, men, marriage is no solution. If you don't let the Holy Spirit deal with your lust, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, you will find that very quickly after marriage, you continue in those sins. So marriage is no solution. Like many other things that, you know, young people think there's a solution. Masturbation. People think it's a solution. Young people think it's a solution over sexual lust. It is not. I can receive grace that I can be totally free. I can receive grace to have a pure thought life, or however my past has been. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll never want to deal treacherously with your wife when you do have one. The same goes for sisters too. So that's my testimony. That's the word that the Lord gave us. Put to rest all our fears, all our doubts, whatever the background. And I always say, you know, I always say to people, I never hold my background or my parents responsible for the life I live. Psychologists will say, you know, because he's from a broken home or she's from a broken home. I've never used that as an excuse for my insecurity or for anything else. If I use that as an excuse, oh, I come from a broken home. That's why I do this and that's why I do that and that's why I get into so many relationships. No excuse. I have to deal with the lusts in my flesh. I have to let Jesus deal with it. Come into victory. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, you know, to come into victory quickly before you get married. Come into a pure life. You know, Psalm 119 and verse 9. A good word. You know, how it says, how you can a young man and how can a young woman keep his or her way pure. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man, how can a young woman keep his or her way pure? By keeping it according to your word. So, no excuse for a bad childhood, for an abusive father, or an unfaithful father, and whatever else. And however, whatever our past has been, not only that God blot out our past, but the consequences, the reaping is there. We watch pornography, we lived after our lusts, the reaping, what a man sows, God's laws don't change there. He will reap. And it takes time. For one who has, you know, been watching pornography, the one who is lived after his lusts, then comes to Christ, you're forgiven, God has blotted out, he looks at us just as if we had never sinned. Romans chapter 5, that's what justification is. That's the miracle of justification, that he looks at us just as if I had never sinned. So all my 27 years, I came to Christ when I was 27, all my 27 years the way I lived, God blotted it out. I know that. The devil cannot come and remind me of any of my past sins. I can say to him, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. But I don't want to have to live in any of those sins anymore. I'm a new creature. Old things pass away, all things have become new. And that's how it is. So take heed to this. How do you keep your way pure, young men, young women? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Keep those words before you. You want to keep your way pure? The answer is in this book, God's word. Nothing else. No excuse for anything of the past. It's blotted out. I've only said to God, be merciful in the reaping. And He is. We reap what we sow. We have sowed to the flesh, we reap. We have heard that many, many times. Brother Zach has used that. You sow potatoes, you don't get tomatoes. So if I've sowed after my flesh, I will reap. But God is merciful to me in the reaping. And He has been merciful. And gradually, things get better. Your dream life, your subconscious. You know, I am always reminded of that hymn that we sing, Search Me, O God, My Actions Try. And, you know, two verses there, I sing it to myself. Sometimes, search. It says there, search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control, the chambers where polluted things hold empire, oh my soul. You know, there are chambers in our life where the God's light has to shine, where the Spirit needs to get into my life and take control. So we should so surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit that He can get into those recesses where I've indulged in the past and bring me to victory, that my dream life also becomes pure. And when you've had a past like that and you're careful, and then you get up one morning and you think, I had a dirty dream. Where did that come from? Yeah, it's come because I've sown to the flesh in the past. And then what do I do? That's what God sees. Do I take pleasure in recalling, or do I hate it? And I ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to even have such dreams. Cleanse me in those recesses. You know, there's a word in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, having these promises. We look at chapter 6. What are those promises? God says, come out and be separate, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Those are the promises. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. God is asking me to do that. I gave you an example. When these things which were there in the subconscious come up, cleanse myself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, the rest of that verse, in the fear of God, not in the fear of man. To perfect holiness in the fear of God, not because CFC preaches it, that's what we are taught here, but in the fear of God. And do that, and you'll find that God will fulfill. How can a young man, young woman keep her way pure, or keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. And it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Do that. And I want to encourage you, really ask the Lord, really take it seriously. Lord, I want to come into a pure life in my motives, in my attitudes, in the way I deal with the opposite sex, when nobody's looking. Lord Jesus, you walked this earth, you came in my flesh, and you kept yourself pure. That's why you could offer yourself up on the cross of Calvary. I want to walk that way. I want to encourage you, sisters and brothers, to really make that your prayer. Lord, before I get married, I want to come into a pure life. I never had that opportunity, but you have today. In the light that I had, I thank God that I finished with sin, even though I didn't hear all that we hear today in CFC. I never heard about the true grace of God. It was a false grace that I believed in. The blood of Jesus is always there. And so that's how it is today in Christendom, Babylon Christendom, blood of Jesus. They treat it as a common thing. It's like tap water, common thing. But I thank God for opening my eyes to the true grace of God. And you, my dear young brothers and my dear young sisters and brothers, can hear these things which we never heard in our youth. And so I'd encourage you, seek God. Before you get married, you come into a life of purity, that when you get married, there will be such a fulfillment in your marriage in every way, in the physical, in the emotional, in the spiritual. There will be a fulfillment. I believe that you can come into that, that even, you know, your sex life would be pure and wholesome. That's the opportunity you have, brothers. You know, you need to really seek God for grace there. How you deal with the opposite sex, to be deal radically with any flirtatious spirit, any carelessness. I remember one godly man say to young people, young brothers, you know, this is not in India, this is outside. He said, brothers, even when you distribute songbooks, be careful. He had walked with the Lord for a long time. I think this was when he was in the 60s, 70s. He said that when you give out the songbooks, you're not touching a sister's hand or fingers. For you, it's thing, but he said that touch can raise her emotions, can get her emotionally, you know, aroused, and that is sin. I'll never forget that. Any careless, today there's so much, you know, sexual harassment, even the government takes upon it. In the way you address the opposite sex, in the way you deal with them, to be careful, brothers, there. That's where you can keep yourself pure. You don't arouse a sister's emotions or a colleague's emotions, whom you have no, you know, is not going to be your wife. You are playing with sin. So to be careful there. Take heed to God's word. Sisters too, be careful. Don't throw your, you know, there's a saying, don't wear your heart on your sleeve. Be careful of those advances that can give a brother ideas, unnecessary thoughts, when you have no desire and you know that he's not going to be your husband. So these are some things I have learned and still learning, that we have to be so careful. We're living in days when somebody said the very atmosphere we breathe, the spirit we breathe in the air today in the world is one of adultery and immorality. You know that. So, like Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when he told them to repent and be baptized and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he says it many other words, it doesn't stop there. He said, be saved from this perverse generation. So I want to encourage you, my dear young brothers and sisters, be saved from this perverse generation. God is silently planning for each one of you in love.